Thank you. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, White Whale, for having me. I'm just going to read three poems that I feel sort of approach the concept that we're working with here today, the Bill of Rights. This first poem is called Supreme, after Ricky Laurentis. I dug beneath the court, and I found a blindfold, and I found its pain too. I dug beneath the blindfold, and I found the roundness of eyes, and I found their pain too. I dug beneath the eyes, and I found a woman, and I found her pain too. I dug beneath the woman, and I found a wall, and I found its pain too. I dug beneath the wall, and I found a noose, and I found its pain too. I dug beneath the noose, and I found a branch, and I found its pain too. I dug beneath the branch, and I found an arrowhead, and I found its pain too. I dug beneath the arrowhead, and I found a home, and I found its pain too. I dug beneath the home, and I found a love that loved me back, and I found its pain too. I brought the love with me back up to the surface, but I brought its pain too. I held these things up in the air with my hands, but the people only stared and asked, "What right did I have to dig?" All right, this next poem is called Eulogy for the Confederate Battle Flag. You kept your 13 stars even as you flew for only 4 of them. How brave of you. On windless days, the red in you hangs a familiar way from the highest poles white hands could erect. I know why the blue of you intersects like cold veins searching for the way back to the heart. You don't need to tell me. You have always been a symbol of an old way of life, an unwelcome piece of heritage. When your hoisters tell me you don't stand for that, I laugh because my grandfather dedicated his ministry to civil rights, marched in southern states where your rebirth burst open black churches and lunch counters where blue blood and red blood clashed, and that is why Pop's bishop robes hold black crosses against a purple Methodist mantle. You see, heritage is just another word for what you stand for and stand against. And you stand for the sting of slavery that was so hot on the backs of my father's ancestors that they fled into the heart of Canada, where 10-foot snow bleached their blackness away until they could walk with whites who never know Negroes could be anything but what they saw in the papers, and that is the reason I was raised to be articulate. You see, articulate is just another way of saying dignity. But you know that. You know Sumter, South Carolina is still hot with the sprint steps of my great-grandfather James, who struck a white man refusing to pay for the horseshoes James installed, beat the man until he ran to town and called a lynch mob, and James left his wife and children and ran to Boston. Dear battle flag, this is why I am here. Dear battle flag, I was one rope and branch away from being. Dear battle flag, an X is the signature of an uneducated man. Dear battle flag, let me educate you. If you stand for heritage, why is your heel in the neck of mine? Why do I still see your heel in the necks of my people? Why don't you see my people are fed up to their necks in need of healing? Dear battle flag, how do you execute the executioner? Does the gravedigger dig his own plot? Dear battle flag, you have brought my people down long enough. Today I bring you down. Thank you. All right, last one. This one is called muriatic. Just the quickest of notes, muriatic is sort of the scientific term for hydrochloric acid. This has a epigraph that begins, "My color just comes with the territory," by Simone Manuel. It's 1994, and I'm focused on the kickboard, toes lipping over pool's edge, anticipating the cool Anaheim water beneath, a carefully learned leaning of my body toward the swim instructor, her arms open, this white woman's embrace the first in a long line that I'll learn to trust and fear at the same time. But today, it's 2016, and Flint, Michigan is boiling the metal in its water futilely, a bubbling brown, plastic bottles stacked forklift high, children stacking up in hospital weight rooms, sick with this water they were given against their will, like it's 1964 in St. Augustine, Florida, and rabbis and blacks are swimming in the Monson Motor Lodge pool while the manager cups a jug of muriatic acid, clear and colorless, dumps it into the water he skirts around, and the sheriff's men refuse to touch it while they pull bodies out against their will like it's just another day. But today, it's 1936, and white men guard the pool in Pittsburgh's Highland Park, where black boys come up and ask, "Why can't we swim?" And the white men's boots and clubs answer them for decades and decades, and today, it's 2006, and the fountain in my high school arcs lukewarm water, cresting like the arch in my bent back, and just below to the side, I see a rectangle of old caulk, ghost of a fountain coming from the wall, and my back aches like it's 1950, and my grandfather is thirsty, so he steps into the long line, bows his head beneath the color's only sign, lips pursed to the slow trickle, though the fountain is cleaner and stronger for whites only, but he doesn't dare meddle with their water today. In 1973, when the pool at Kennywood closes for good, and some will blame integration, and some will blame maintenance problems, and some will only know the parking lot paved over, or the splash of the Pittsburgh plunge as it dunks into new waters spraying high in the air like it's 2005 in New Orleans, and Katrina's waters are either sink or swim, and the government chooses sink, and far too many whites say, why don't they just swim, and far too many blacks don't have a choice at all, and hot days go by without help like it's 1963 and the hoses are on us, and it's 1954 and Emmett Till can't breathe, and it's every year since then that black people have known the sting of the water and kept back, kept out, kept waiting for clean waters, safe waters, until finally it's 2016, and it's a dead heat in Rio, and Simone Manuel's hand hits the wall, and a gasp and wide smile disbelief hits her face when a black girl wins a gold medal in the water, and wide-smiled black girls slip on swimsuits, and little brown and black kids peek their toes over swimming pools' edges, knowing today, for the first time, the water can be our home too. Thank you. Our next reader, Sheila Carter-Jones.